Good morning. So good to worship with you this morning. It's good to see all of you. And thank you, Nathan and team, for leading in this time of worship and exalting the name of the Lord, our God, our Father in heaven. He is so worthy of our praise and our worship. He's a good Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we our good Father in heaven so wants all of His children to experience, to live in His blessings, in His goodness. And He longs for you, longs to have this close relationship with you, wants you to walk with Him. And so He gives us this message throughout the Bible of how we can live, and the Ten Commandments are well known as part of the Scripture that kind of highlights the summary of the law. And the Father, your good Father in heaven, saying, this is how I want you to live. So we're going through that in this series. This is the third message. Last Sunday, Joel led us through a great teaching on a graven image. Before that, it was no other gods before me. So in the first commandment, it's addressing that we have this continual temptation to doubt that our Heavenly Father really is good. He's sufficient. So maybe we need to supplement with other gods. And last Sunday, it was so quickly, we want to like a shortcut. We want to, maybe this particular thing or practice will get us in good favor with God. And no. God alone is sufficient. And then this morning, this amazing text of you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. He is holy. He is righteous. Don't irreverence the Lord God in any way in your life. Because the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses, irreverences His name. So I've titled the message, just reverencing. That's the theme that I've been working on. How can we reverence our Father in heaven who is so worthy, so worthy? And in fact, and the premise of going through this series is that the premise is that in all 10 of these, including the third one today, so we are continually guilty of obeying these commands in the spirit that God intends. And so I invite you, as I did 2 weeks ago, is to see yourself as guilty of this, of disobeying this command, and asking the Holy Spirit that, in what ways, Father, am I failing to reverence your name? And speak to me about how I can better reverence your name and not misuse your name. And the purpose of the repentance, of the feeling, the guilt and the shame, is not to shame you and belittle you, but to simply acknowledge His goodness and acknowledge His grace and His love, even though we continually fail. So we'll end up with that. So the four questions in misusing God's name is, my father was here last night, and I guess he's not here, Phyllis. No, did he go back already? He was not feeling well. My father is from Delaware, and he's approaching his 91st birthday soon this summer, and we were just honored to have him with us last night, but he's not, wasn't feeling good. So at 90 years old, he's allowed to not feel good. And but I was just thinking of sitting here. Remember that time when I was just a little tyke? In fact, my older sister, one of my older sisters, was holding me, and this brilliant young guy in church was teaching me how to misuse God's name and use it in vain. And I was joyfully doing that because I was totally innocent and had no clue what I was saying. My older sister, because she loved me, she told my father about how I was misusing his name after church. And my father sat me down and explained to me how God's children don't misuse his name. And to reinforce that, he had a rod across his lap, which he didn't use that day, but he warned me that in the future it would probably be used. And anyway, just thought of that personal story about misusing God's name. So the questions I had in this passage is why is this so important to God about misusing his name that he would include it in the top 10? And how do we misuse God's name as we go through our daily life? And how does that hurt me? Not hold anyone guiltless. Why is it such a big deal? How does it hurt me? And then how can we reverence God's name? So those are the four things I'd like to you to think with me about this morning. So why is this so important to God? In our culture, it really isn't. We don't reverence a name in that way, but maybe we do, because think about how, you know, this proverb says a good name is rather to be had than great wealth. And when we say things like, well, that guy has a bad name, and so the name, the value of a name, does have significance even in our culture, although not as much in the Bible, Old Testament culture, because in that culture, the Jewish people would not even speak the name of the Lord. It was so holy, so reverenced, and they were afraid of being irreverent to God's name, of misusing it, that they would not even speak it. And they would not oft even write it, because they didn't want to dishonor God's name, the name of Yahweh. And I felt that. I loved the worship, but as we were singing Yahweh, Yahweh, I couldn't sing that because of, you know, I was meditating on this all week, and it's like, I can't even speak his holy name. He is so holy. So there's that sense in the Jewish culture that they had it right. But we treat it much more casually, although we talk about that guy has a bad name. And you think about it, every one of us here, we have, when people say your name, there's a certain reputation or thought that goes with that, good and bad. Whether it be your classmates, your neighbors, your co-workers, your business associates. Associates, you have a name, and it means something. And of course, you don't want to disrespect anyone's name, especially if you have a favorite politician or a celebrity or sports figure or something. You get, when someone disgraces their name, you get stirred up, don't you? Or on the other hand, if you don't like whoever the politician or sports team you don't like, you end up making jokes about their name, right? We do that, and you kind of diminish them, their name. So it is a part of our culture. So think about that. It's not totally foreign. So God says, do not misuse my name, because God is so holy. He is totally good. And so when God came to Moses in the burning bush, you remember that story? Some of you would know that story in the Old Testament. And God told Moses to go lead the children of Israel out of slavery, out of Egypt. And Moses said, if I go... Well, first God said, take your shoes off, Moses. You're on holy ground. Reverence my presence, reverence my name. And so Moses took his shoes off. And then Moses said, well, when I go back to the Israelites, who shall I tell them that sent me? What is your name? And God would not even give Moses his name then, but he simply said, I am that I am. I am the eternal, holy, self-existence one. I am that I am. Beginning this journey of throughout the Bible of God introducing His greatness, His awesomeness, His holiness. And then the story of the Old Testament is that they continually disobeyed this command, and they profaned. If you Google it, in the Old Testament, the Israelites profaned the name of the Lord over and over through their disobedience, through their idolatry. And God led them into exile, into punishment, because they profaned the name of the Lord. And that's going back to an Exodus at the beginning of their wilderness journey, where God said, "Do not misuse my name. You will not be held guiltless when you do this." So the story of the Israelites illustrate this text all through the Old Testament. So how do we misuse His name? The word idea behind misuse is vain, empty. How do we use God's name in a way that kind of diminishes it and empties it of its value? So how do we do that today? Now, I have four things here, the way that we do that, the way that we can do that, is that... The last one I want to talk about is probably the first you're thinking of when we use it as a swear word or in a trite way. But before that, think about some other ways that you can misuse the name of the Lord your God. So the one is that if you're here this morning and you've given your heart to Jesus, then you are a Christian and you are a follower of Jesus. You are a child of God. And so wherever you go, you're carrying the name of the Lord. Okay, you with me? God is my God. I'm a Christian. So I worship the Lord God. So when the world, people around see you, they see you as a Christian, as one of God's children. So you're carrying God's name with you. This old hymn, "Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow, and of woe it will joy and comfort give you. Take it wherever you go." So wherever we go, we're carrying the name of the Lord. So the point here is that when you speak and act, live in such a way that you don't reflect the holiness of God, you're profaning His name. You're misusing the name of the Lord. When you don't live in holiness perfectly. And that's why I said we're all guilty of this one. We're all guilty of the third command, because none of us, not one of us here, go through our days living in perfect obedience. We fall short of this. But when we do fall short, when you fall short, remember that you are disobeying the third command of the ten. You are misusing the name of the Lord when you fail to live in a way that reflects His holiness, His goodness. When you say and do things and you dishonor the reputation of God. And God, you know, bringing Him down to our human terms, He's like, "Oh, I'm so embarrassed. Don't do that. You're carrying my name." You know, us dads with our children sometimes, they are my child. I love them, but... And we dishonor God's name when we live in that way as His children. When we fail to obey the ultimate command that Jesus gave, the fulfillment of the Old Testament law is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. When we when we fall short of that standard, then we're dishonoring God's name. Think about it. Another way that we can misuse God's name is when some of us are too quick to say, "Well, the Lord told me this and that, and God has spoken to me, or God is telling me, and God wants me to," and you're really not sure that He has, or maybe He hasn't, but you're just using that as leverage to make your point. God's name is so holy. Be so careful before saying, "God told me to do this," or "God said this." When you do that in an irreverent way, then you're misusing God's name. God's name is so holy and righteous. Be very, very careful before you say, God told me this or told me to do that. Be very careful. So I think we as a church, we've taken that too lightly. And when we take it too lightly, we're taking what is holy and sacred and we're diminishing it. We're misusing His name. And then when you use God's name as a throwaway, casual name, in a casual way, instead of hallowing His name, we throw God's name around like we would perhaps a frisbee in the park, just casually having fun with it. And so when we use it, not only as a curse word, which we, of course, that's wrong, but in our Christian circles, I hear more and more just the, oh my God, and it's on Facebook and you hear it all the time, and maybe you're here and you're using that. And if you are, I'd like to invite you to think about that seriously and take that before the Lord. That whenever we use the word God, Jesus, Lord, or any form of that word, He is so holy. He is so righteous. He is so good. Don't use it in a casual way. Don't do that, because you're dishonoring our Father in heaven when you do that. So if you're carelessly tossing God's name around, the significance of His holiness isn't gripping your heart. The significance of His love, you're failing to understand His deep love for you. And as you do that more and more, then you will not want to throw God's name around in any form, in a casual, trite way. And you may say, well, that's not my intent. I'm not meaning to dishonor God's name. It's just an expression. It doesn't really mean anything. If you're saying that here this morning, then I believe you. That's not your intent to dishonor God's name. I get that. I know that. But you need to think about what the Scriptures say about reverencing God's name. And let that supersede the casualness of your conversation and how you throw that God's name around. So there's two stories in the Old Testament, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament, that are rather confusing to us, but they're there for a point. And one is a story in Leviticus chapter 10, where God was setting up for the Israelites how to worship Him. And He took Aaron and made him a high priest. And Aaron's children and descendants were to be the priests and offer the sacrifices to the Lord. And God gave them very specific instructions of how to offer the sacrifices. And there was fire in the tabernacle, and the fire that was used to burn the sacrifices had to come from a certain source there that was dedicated to the God. And the story in Leviticus 10 is where Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu, they offered unauthorized fire to the Lord in sacrifice. The Bible doesn't say what that is, other than they took fire that was not according to God's instructions. And they offered this unauthorized fire as a sacrifice to the Lord. And they irreverenced the name of the Lord by doing that. They disregarded Him. They minimized Him. And we don't know what was in their heart. Maybe they thought, it's not that big a deal. God's a loving, forgiving God. It's not no big deal. We'll just do this. And God said, no, it is a big deal. You have to treat my name as holy. And the story goes on that God struck them dead, killed them on the spot, because they irreverenced His name. And then God went on to tell Aaron, his father, said, I don't want you to grieve. Don't weep. Don't mourn. Because if you grieve for your sons, then you'll be irreverencing my name. Don't irreverence my name. And again, Nadab and Abihu may say, oh, we didn't mean anything by that. God, oh, no, sure, we reverence you, but... And God says, no, you have to reverence my name. So I'm sharing that this morning just to encourage you. So you may say, oh, it's no big deal. No big deal, I don't mean anything by it. But it means something to God. It means something to your Father in heaven. So you need to reverence God's name. And the other story is very similar to that, where in the New Testament, where Ananias and Sapphira, it's a story in Acts, you can read it, but they lied to the apostles and about giving money. They said they gave money that they didn't. And Peter said, you lied to the Holy Spirit. And they both were struck dead by God. It's a hard story. We don't understand it. But in the next verse in that text says, and great fear seized the whole church, and they realize that they have to reverence God's name. This is important to God, to reverence His name. So how does misusing God's name make me not guiltless? What does God do with us today when we misuse His name? Well, the good news in this is that with the Old Testament law, we've been talking about that this, because Jesus came and He fulfilled the law, which I can't get into this morning. You can listen to the last two sermons online and get more of a context here. But it's not our law. Our law is to love the Lord our God with, say it with me, all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. That is our law. And the Old Testament law teaches us how to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so it's not our law, but it teaches us how to, helps us understand who God is and how we can love and worship and serve Him. So when we break this third command, we are not guilty in the sense of facing judgment, because as Jesus died on the cross and our sins are forgiven, including the sin of misusing His name. So the issue is not as much as a Christian, are you not forgiven of this, but you're distancing. The guiltless part, the punishment comes that you're distancing yourself from your Father in heaven. You're not drawing near to Him. And by not drawing near to Him, you're missing His heart. You're missing His love. You're missing His blessings in this life. And over too many times I've talked to older people and ready to die, and they had just, oh, I have so many regrets. I wish I wouldn't have. They've lived far from God. And yes, they're going to heaven. But they've made so many bad choices. And they had to suffer those consequences as a result. And in that sense, the Lord will not hold you guiltless. He'll reap what you sow. There's consequences. And the more you reverence God's name, the more your heart will be drawn to live, walk in obedience. And you'll receive His blessings of Him. So how can we reverence His name? The main point in reverence His name is simply the more I understand the gospel, God's love for me, then the more I want to reverence His name. So I love this definition from Tim Keller. He's a pastor, a Presbyterian pastor in New York. I wrote a lot of books. This comes out of his book on marriage, a great book. And it's one of my favorite quotes currently. The gospel is this, that we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet, at the same time, we are so loved, more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. So the point here in reverencing His name is that we... I love this picture here, the image of Adam and Eve, just so blessed by living in the garden, but because of their sin, cast out of the garden and separated from God. And there was the cherubim, the angel with a flaming sword, that's a story in Genesis 3, keeping them out of the presence of the Father. They misused, profaned the name of the Lord. They were cast out. And that's you and I, not just in our past, but in our present. We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dare believe. And it's been so comfort and healing for me in the last years, ever since I'm a Christian, to just understand in a deeper way my own sinfulness and brokenness. But yet we are, at the same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ. We're a special child. Even though we're wayward sheep, He continually draws us back to Him. He cares for us. He is our good shepherd. Not only that, but Jesus went face to face with that flaming sword in the garden. And He took the horribleness of that sword at the cross. And He took our punishment. And by going and facing the sword and accepting the horror, the brutality, the death of that sword, He made a way so that we can slip in under that sword and return to the Garden of Eden and begin to experience the blessings of God in this way. So that's the gospel. And the more you understand how undeserving you are, how unworthy you are, but yet how loved you are, the more you feel the weight of your own sin and the, whatever the word is, God's the love that Jesus has for you, the more you want to go through your days reverencing this awesome God who loves you so much. How could I irreverence His name, the one who has done so much for me, has loved me so much. He forgives me so much. He cares for me so much. I don't want to irreverence His name in any way. That's the spirit behind this third command. So when you use the name of the Lord, how about making this commitment this morning to not only not misuse the name of the Lord, but to any time the name of the Lord crosses your lips or as you live your life, that you will fear the name of the Lord. This is not be afraid. This phrase is used many times in the Old Testament. It's to reverence with great respect the name of the Lord. By having an undivided heart, committing to walk in obedience, and committing to when the name, literal name, God, Jesus, Christ, Lord, whatever, crosses your lips, it's only done in a way that it gives praise and honor to the Lord. Instead of saying, "Oh my God," say, "Oh my God." I invite you to stand, and we're going to sing a song just exalting the name of the Lord. He's a strong tower. He's a shelter like no other. He has power to save. So we sing this song, reverence the name of the Lord, and make this commitment to spend your life reverencing that. If you need to repent and ask forgiveness, do that. As we sing this song, Father, Holy Spirit, come and show us Your love. Teach us how to reverence Your name.